This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. I welcome your questions, your topics of interest, your comments. Please email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. We're into a nice, cool September. I like the fall, although I love summer most. I do love the fall. Sweaters and boots time. Time to bring them out. And the first light blanket to sleep at night. Anyway, so last week, I talked to you about Monsanto. I talked to you about glyphosate in the product Roundup that's made by the super huge Monsanto. I talked to you about an article that discussed all the different types of foods it's in and how farmers are using Roundup as a desiccant, or at least the chemical in Roundup glyphosate as a desiccant to help harvest. It helps them harvest faster. It helps to dry out the crops, and it helps to speed up the processing of the harvest. So I want to talk a little bit more about this because there's more to know about the dangers of herbicides, especially herbicides and birth defects. And this is coming to you from Body Bio Health News. I like Body Bio. Good information here. Good products too. So Body Bio Health News, discussing herbicides and birth defects. After years of acceptance as a safe and effective weed killer, a popular herbicide is facing the guillotine as teratogenic. It causes malformations in an embryo or fetus. Initial investigations back in the 1970s into the safety record of the chemical glyphosate indicated that its safety to humans was guaranteed. An organization called Earth Open Source has now indicted the chemical as a serious risk to public health while accusing the herbicide industry of hiding the truth for decades. Wow. And, you know, you're already privy to this if you're listening to these podcasts on here on Intelligent Medicine. So, reports of neural defects and craniofacial malformations from regions where glyphosate-based herbicides are used led us to undertake an embryological approach to explore the effects of low doses of glyphosate in development. This is from researchers from the University of Buenos Aires in Argentina. The researcher is Paganelli in the year 2010. But even prior to this, sequestered research from 2007 showed that glyphosate-induced fetal malformations in lab animals and adverse reproductive effects in the male offspring of a certain kind of rat. Wow. And this was actually reported in the Huffington Post in 2011. The basis for concern is the interruption of retinoic acid signaling in the development of vertebrate embryos, where Paganelli and the rest of his researchers at Al found that embryos of selected amphibians and chickens demonstrated, quote, a gradual loss of rhombomere domains, reduction of the optic vesicles, and microcephaly. Yeah, Layla. What does all that mean? Plain speak, please. Let me go on. First of all, the terms need description. Let me tell you. Rhombomeres are tiny parts of the neural tube that will become the central nervous system. Okay. Optical vessels are tiny sacs from which will develop the parts of the eye that actually see things. Microcephaly is abnormal smallness of the head. Now that we understand that these characteristics may befall an amphibian or a chicken, we must be concerned that the same could happen. Must we be concerned that the same could happen to a human embryo? I would think so. I mean, could it happen to you or one of your family from long-term exposure to glyphosate or a related substance that may be just as toxic to glyphosate? It doesn't have to be necessarily the brand name Roundup. Could be a different herbicide that you're using, right? It could be a different herbicide that you're using which contains glyphosate. It wouldn't necessarily be limited to Roundup. So one of the troublesome things about laboratory experiments is the deliberate exposure of lab animals to doses of chemicals at levels that are unlikely to contact a human. This is absolutely true. Anytime we're looking at a rat or mouse study or smaller animal studies or any of that, we have to look at the dose that's being used. I mean, that's a very that's probably the biggest variable to be a confounder, because how do we translate that into real life and into human beings? And our supposed exposure, or our, you know, what we're guessing our exposure might be in doing just regular lawn care or the commercial produce that we're eating. However, it's a significant springboard for prudent conjecture, for it introduces the potential what-ifs of the process, doesn't it though? I mean, you could look at a rat study, a mouse study, or and say, hey, yes, we do have to be careful how we extrapolate. That is absolutely true. You've heard me say that over and over and over. But in relation to a toxic exposure, you have to consider if living things are being impacted by it. We are also living things. So what ifs of the process, right? We have to question it. Related animal testing in Brazil showed that exposure to large amounts of glyphosate caused death in half of the study population. The author was Delagrave, and the year is 2003. So, related animal testing in Brazil showed that exposure to heftier amounts of glyphosate caused death in half of the study population, accompanied by severe developmental retardation of fetal skeletons. Wow. So, a sensible question asks, why this data? Why has it been kept under wraps for nearly a decade? The sensible answer is that the chemical industry didn't want this info to go public for fear of boycott and reprisal that would inflict fiduciary pain. Well put, Body Biohealth News. The industry response is to say that the test results remain unclear, but that might just depend on whose spectacles are covered with petroleum jelly. I applaud the author who wrote this. I wish I had the name, but it's from Body BioHealth News. Thank you. After all, testing poisons directly on humans is not, well, human. You can't see that passing by a review board for scientific research, could you? Yeah, it's completely unethical. So, the EPA, a watchdog that some say wears an eye patch, I agree, evaluates biocides every 15 years in a process called registration review. Now, lots can happen in that time. Glyphosate works on weeds and other plants that are not genetically modified to tolerate it. That tells the consumer that wherever it is used, the food it protects against weed infiltration is probably a GMO, the long-term effects of which are yet unknown. And here's something very interesting. When the Argentine government pulled that nation out of recession in the 1990s, it relied on GMO soy to help. Shortly thereafter, residents near those soy farms where the glyphosate was used experienced adverse health that they had not experienced before. High rates of birth defects and cancer were among them. But also, there was destruction of non-tolerant crops and livestock from drifting of the overspray. Think about this. They're spraying it out into the air onto the crops, but it's out. What's to keep any overspray from drifting nearby, to nearby farms, to nearby residences, to nearby, you know, to the aquifer, to reservoirs? So, Argentine officials were implored by a group of environmental lawyers to ban the glyphosate spray. But the ban, unfortunately, was never adopted nationwide, although several provinces restricted spraying near populated areas. Now, there is speculation that plants immune to glyphosate develop bacterial infections novel to their species, and that these bacteria pose a threat to animal husbandry by initiating miscarriages. Corn and soy, the two most heavily genetically modified crops, suffer the most bacterial rampage. Yeah. There is a possibility that humans could be affected. Hey, are you drinking soy milk, having tofu, nibbling on edamame, eating corn? Are you eating processed foods? That means you're into cornography. Cornography. If you're eating corn chips and other processed foods and things that contain corn syrup like soft drinks and sodas, you are affected. That is the crop that's sprayed. Corn and soy. Now, of course, there's a possibility that humans could be affected. Don Huber, a retired plant pathologist from Purdue, told the Agriculture Department that these concerns early in 2011, told the Agriculture Department of these concerns in 2011, but was offered no comment from the government, while being summarily dismissed by the maker of glyphosate in the United States. Monsanto, anyone? Over 100 glyphosate formulations are on the market, many made in Asia. The glyphosate industry labels independent studies as bogus, incomplete, and short-sighted. They do, however, offer their own research as alternatives. Now, what do you think may be wrong with that? That's the fox guarding the henhouse, isn't it? They do offer their research as alternatives. And of course, like many in the pharmaceutical industry, they're not necessarily going to report negative studies, but only the positive ones, if there are any, or spin the ones that are equivocal, maybe neutral, into a positive outcome in their research. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. These are the three types of lies. And you know that industry will employ this. So, coming back to the original. So what does retinoic acid have to do with this? Retinoic acid is the metabolite of vitamin A that controls growth and development. If stymied, as happens in the presence of glyphosate, reproductive chaos ensues as hypogonadism and infertility. Now, I don't know about you and other of my colleagues out there. We're seeing more and more hypogonadism in men, and we're seeing more infertility, particularly in women. We have to question how the use of these herbicides containing glyphosate plays into all of this. So, Body Biohealth News says, we should feel comforted knowing that the glyphosate industry has everything under control. Bravo. Bravo. I love your humor, Body Bio News. And in the same vein, there was a republished study by actually a scientist at Body Bio, a respected scientist, republished study, long-term toxicity of a Roundup herbicide and a Roundup-tolerant genetically modified maize. Maize is corn. Okay. The health effects of a Roundup-tolerant NK603 genetically modified maize from 11% in the diet, cultivated with or without Roundup application and Roundup alone, which means from 0.1 parts per billion of the full pesticide containing glyphosate in drinking water, were evaluated in two rats, for 2 years in rats, were evaluated. This is another rat study, and this, they were evaluated for 2 years. The study constitutes a follow-up investigation of a 90-day feeding study conducted by Monsanto in order to obtain commercial release of this GMO, employing the same rat strain and analyzing biochemical parameters on the same number of animals per group as our investigation. Our research represents the first chronic study on these substances in which all observations, including tumors, are reported chronologically. This is very important. So, the results. Biochemical analyses confirm very significant chronic kidney deficiencies for all treatments and both sexes. 76% of the altered parameters were kidney related. In treated males, liver congestions and necrosis, meaning cell death, tissue death, were 2.5 to 5.5 times higher. Marked and severe nephropathies were also generally 1.3 to 2.3 times greater. Marked and severe kidney compromise and dysfunction. In females, all treatment groups showed a 2 to 3-fold increase in mortality, and deaths occurred earlier. This difference was also evident in 3 male groups fed with GM maize. All results were hormone and sex dependent, and the pathological profiles were comparable. Females developed large mammary breast tumors more frequently and before controls. The pituitary was the second most disabled organ. Your pituitary is your master and commander next to the hypothalamus. Okay, it might be, you know, the first mate in your whole endocrine system. So the pituitary was the second most disabled. The sex hormonal balance was modified by consumption of GM maize and Roundup treatments. Males presented up to four times more large, palpable tumors, feelable tumors that they could feel, that they could palpate, starting 600 days earlier than in the control group, in which only one tumor was noted. Wow. These results may be explained by not only the non-linear endocrine disrupting effects of Roundup, but expression of certain gene mutations in the GM maize and their metabolic consequences. So these scientists conclude the following. Our findings imply that long-term, two-year feeding trials need to be conducted to thoroughly evaluate the safety of genetically modified foods and pesticides in their full commercial formulations. Okay? This came out, this is Seralini et al. In Environmental Sciences Europe Journal in 2014. And scary stuff. And it's not being evaluated properly because, you know, Monsanto offers a whole lot of money. Has a whole lot of money, and with a whole lot of money, you could do a whole lot of things, including get the results you want, real or false. Anyhow, so interesting stuff about glyphosate, Monsanto. You want to really reevaluate your produce, what you're eating, opt for organic as much as possible. I would even go so far as to say, besides never using Roundup on your lawns for lawn care or weed killing, you probably don't want to live near commercial farms. So much for the rural life, right? We want to be surrounded with all organic farms. Better for our health. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.